Welcome to the Construction Pals Podcast, brought to you by Blue Tape, your source for the latest in the construction world. Hard hats off, headphones on, and let's get started.
And I'm your host, Rick Butler from Blue Tape. In today's episode, we're talking with Tracy Brown, who rose from laborer to running multi-million dollar companies over his 30-plus year career in the construction industry, now focusing on mental health for those in the field. How you doing, Tracy?
I'm doing great, and thanks for having me. It is a pleasure to be here. I really enjoy your podcast, and I'm grateful for the chance to talk about some important issues.
So tell me a little bit about yourself. Where are you talking to me from right now, man?
Yeah, I'm in the Chicagoland area, west of the city of Chicago in the suburbs. Been in the Illinois region in this area for about 12 years, but really lived all over the country, from traveling really in the construction world my entire life. So, came here about 12 years ago and working for a, industrial, commercial, electrical and instrumentation automation contractor here for many years before I branched off into my own independent consulting with Meta Management Consulting. So we like it here. It's a great area. You know, it's been hot, but we're liking it.
Hot. I haven't heard Chicagoland and hot. I guess it is right now, though. I guess it's hot everywhere.
Yeah, sure is.
We're taping this in August for anybody that needs to know, but it won't be that way for much longer, I guess. I don't know. Great area, though. So when you said we, family, wife, kids, dog.
All the above. I've been married 22 years, my wife, Christy. We have two adult children. We have our dog, Charlotte, who may make an appearance. We'll see. We are, living here, really working, as a consultant outside of the office, more in our own personal office. And we also have a separate company that my wife and I run together doing some construction real estate development in our little town that we're in now.
That could be a whole nother podcast right there.
It's been great, actually. And then she edits my weekly newsletter, Earn versus Burn. She's an excellent editor and helps me with that as well. But, it's funny. We're dealing with historic credits and historic preservation work with some of the buildings we're working on. And, it takes a lot of teamwork and patience. So add the wife element, husband-wife thing. It's actually gone very well. But, that could be another podcast, I suppose.
Yeah. So there'd be some folks interested. So in your 30-plus years, we'll call it just the umbrella of construction, if I came to you, Tracy, and say, hey, where can I pick your brain where you can give me like, hey, this is the go-to guy? Where would that expertise be where I could really glean some good stuff from you?
Yeah, I'm a project person. I estimate I've overseen over $1 billion worth of projects in my career. And as I rose from a laborer to a craftsperson on up through to being executive, founder, and CEO, I have really been always geared towards operations, the operations side of the business. So what my calling card is and how I help companies now through my consulting company is really heavily construction focused and heavily in operations itself. So, and the way I also capture that is, project management and the work around project managing is something I think a lot about all the time. I write about that in my newsletter. And so for me, it's about leadership, productivity and really best practices within the construction industry is what I do. And that's the value I can bring to people and companies. And I try to do it my goal is always have a drive for impact. And that is what I would say. Hey, if you have a question about operations, you have a question about, best practices, project managing, things of that nature, I feel like I've, overseen about $1 billion worth of jobs. So I feel pretty good about helping in that way.
So, let's just take 30 years as sort of a timeline. Where have you seen the industry change the most, specifically in construction? You started out as a laborer. Now your expertise is in leadership and operations and, executive type executions, where have you seen the biggest change come?
Well, I think it is in the way we execute projects and do work is, you know, it's also part of the age we're in. You know, things are a lot more software driven in ways that makes things seem more transactional and less sort of relationship based. You know, where I was coming up, you know, everything was very direct, hands-on, face-to-face. And now things are, you know, supported by, which are some great systems and processes and software solutions and the virtual world of communication with various ERPs and CRMs and every acronym you can think of. So I think the biggest changes have been around, and I think some of the gaps that we need to kind of overcome have been the disconnection between, I think, the execution of the projects and the people involved. Things have become sort of, if you will, systematized in a way that takes out some of that personal interaction, which is also some of the issues I think we're facing in the industry. I will also say some of the positive, I mean, that's not a negative either, but it's just a fact, I think. And some of the other things that have occurred and I think are great is the change in the way projects are led and managed. You're seeing, when I started, you know, I was in a ditch with a shovel digging my first day. It was a gold mine project up in Washington State. And, you know, the bosses, you know, were of what you would typically think from a construction, you know, the construction world, you know, my way or the highway, you know, tough, rugged, rough type folks who have many mentors that I've had are like that. But at the same time, it's changed. It's become younger. You know, we are seeing more women get into the industry, which is great. It's still led. It's still 90% men, you know, driven in the construction industry, probably, but it's changing. And then you're also seeing some of the softer skills being developed and being accepted in the industry, which are just great things to have. You have to, with the generational changes in the way people expect things to be brand and communicated, you see change there. So that's some good stuff.
Yeah. So the changes that are taking place now in 2023, again, this is August 23, 2023 right now as we're speaking, it's a perfect segue into men living, define men living, explain it a little bit, and then what got you involved in it.
Sure. So I've been a member of this company or this group called menliving.org for several years. A great group of guys who really, the founder and the co-founder and all the other people who have gotten involved over the years that I've been fortunate to become a part of, really are all about, their mission is to help men to really connect, heal, and thrive. And they take steps to ensure connection through their platform, and through their organization that I'm a part of. They do a great job of having all kinds of offerings for people to really get together and connect. I mean, it's, you know, I think the founder, Todd Adams, has said things like, you know, you think back and, you know, when men get together, they talk sports or cars or maybe their job. You know, if you can break free of some of that and have different kinds of connections with people that are, you know, just like you are, but maybe you're not putting up those walls and those barriers and just a safe zone of talking about sports, if you will, which, hey, I love talking about sports, but so that's, I think, some of the core concepts around men living, and it's menliving.org. And I welcome anybody to check it out. And like I say, I'm a member of the group and I also am supporting them in this new construction initiative, which is something obviously, you know, I care deeply about the industry, and I'm very focused on helping to kind of grow this initiative that is really targeted towards men in construction and some of the kind of mental health, you know, factors that are becoming more prevalent within the construction industry specifically, which are kind of surprising. So with that, I think combining these two things, this organization I joined, I'm glad to be a part of and attend meetings and just, you know, have a chance for connection. And then really as they added in and I become more a part of, even in a side kind of a consulting engagement, but really as a member of the group to grow this construction initiative around mental health. It's been an honor to be a part of.
Now, what specifically to construction and this industry, what do you think are some of the things that precipitate men to sort of you know, get to that point where, you know, I might want to check out Men Living. I might need to think about, you know, getting a little extra help, talk to somebody, just hell, just talking to somebody.
Yeah. What, No, it is connection. It's talking. It's, you know, they're not, nobody here is a medical professional. We're not offering medical advice. Obviously there's resources people need to go to if they're, you know, at a certain point. But it is about, if you think about the industry and the historic nature of it and the stigma around, if you will, mental health in really all industries, but one that is driven so heavily by men, and it is, you know, the 8 to 12 million men are in the United States are in the construction industry. There's just this need to find a way to break free from either an HR-driven, a safety department-driven, or an intercompany, you know, platform for mental health support, and really create, I think, more of an independent resource. People just to, hey, air out those issues, you know, have a place to just kind of to let it fly a little bit and talk about really either really deeply construction related frustration, stress, anxiety, or just generally in life, but also around a forum of fellow construction workers, if you will. So it's not as if each topic is construction related in the discussion, you know, in these virtual meetings where people can kind of connect. It's also, you're speaking with some like-minded folks from the same industry. But it's really just a place to air it out, man. And also bring expertise. You know, that's how I feel is, hey, I want people to come that can offer perspective different than my own to help me learn, you know? So those are some of the biggest attractions to this organization and to this specific group.
Yeah. Is it generally one-on-one or in small group, like meetups and small group? How does the dynamic work there?
Yeah, great question. It's groups. It's like the menliving.org and it's /construction to learn more. They also have ways to connect through their newsletter. They have a weekly newsletter they send out, which is great resource. But it's, they have an offering of various virtual meetings each week. And then currently there's one a month for construction folks only. And it is virtual. It's like a screen with, you know, a bunch of faces on it and all talking. Maybe there'll be some small breakouts. And it's really about, which is great because you really get to hear other people's, perspective, but also their viewpoint about various issues. So you can learn and also give some feedback, your own opinion. But also one-on-one support is available. I mean, there's people that are available for that if they need it. But again, it's not a medical, you know, kind of platform, so to speak. It's more about connection, you know, thriving, healing, or around the mission of it.
For sure. You think some of the stereotypes have led to men in the construction industry? I actually don't come from a construction industry background. I come from an athletic coaching background. I was a football coach for 30 years. And you talk about male dominated, macho. I mean, you know, that's, you know, sort of, you know, John Wayne strutting into the, you know, bar type attitude and everything you did. And I see a lot of those similarities in the construction industry. You know, this is the way my dad did it. And, you know, big boys don't cry and show their emotions and that type thing. Call that a stigma, call that a stereotype. Do you think that wall has been so big that tearing it down and getting involved in these things are starting to be more prevalent? Do you think that's been a reason why it's not been more prevalent and it's growing now in terms of an outreach like Men Living?
Yeah, I think absolutely. It has been a huge factor, I think, to get to the point where we are today, where there is a kind of a macho element. You know, those stereotypes are changing, though. That's where you get in the younger generations. They have a different, you know, set of expectations within this industry. So that is changing. And you also see large, you know, construction companies, contractors who have offerings to support and to try to remove some of that stigma around mental health. And I think the fact that in athletics, you're starting to see that stigma come down too. So all these factors are helping, but it has gotten us to this point. I mean, if you, here's one interesting stat. If you know OSHA and MSHA, anyone in the construction related world knows that those are organizations that support really safety and oversee safety and set rules and regulations around safety for construction. And, you know, not counting the safety budgets of, say, the thousands of contractors out there, which runs into the billions of dollars, just OSHA and MSHA alone is over $1 billion a year in budgets. Yet, a construction worker suicide rate is 5 times the fatality rate for construction workers. So when you kind of take some of these statistics and you bounce them off each other, you realize that, hey, this is an addressed issue that, hey, in all our own small way and all of our people who work in this industry in any way we can, we should just kind of jump in and try to create forums or ways for people to, you know, express how they're feeling and share their experiences. So the stigma is real. It is coming down a little bit. There's still some barriers there, of course. But you know, the world's changing, and hopefully it continues to evolve in a way that just becomes the norm and accepted. But I think one quick distinction, I think, really is we sent out a survey recently, got some feedback about it. And yes, some of the survey results were saying, yes, there still is a stigma. Yes, it is difficult to approach, say, their company if they have something with part of the organization where they offer some mental health support. It's difficult for people to want to take that step because of the, you know, fear of being stigma, you know, the stigma associated with it. So with those things being said, I think having something outside, and there's other organizations that, you know, support these initiatives as well, but with menliving.org, menliving itself is one that's trying to do what they can.
Sort of a blue tape final walkthrough here, you know, in your 30 years and related to mental health and related to men living, what's some of the best advice you've ever gotten? It could have been on day one advice halfway through, or what you're feeding off now in terms of great advice.
Yeah, I think for me, someone who went to high school and kind of came up through the field, what the biggest, I think, impact is that I have experienced is through great mentors. And people who have supported me and believed in me before I believed in myself. So I think the biggest takeaway of all these years in this industry and the biggest lessons I've learned have centered around the concepts of leadership and then in the job of leaders to really create more leaders. You know, I believe in that. I have an ebook on the subject about leaders creating leaders. And I think there's at the core of that is what I'm saying, what I believe is that, you know, mentoring, being a mentee or a mentor and bring people up and supporting them and helping them grow to their full potential is really the job of leaders. And so I've had some great leaders that I've been able to follow and grow and help support me to become more of a leader myself. So from that perspective, I think that's probably the core of what I believe and what I've been taught and really what has been expected of me throughout my career is to help people grow. And that's because that's what I got. You know? So as it relates to, say, the mental health industry, it's all connected, you know, completely.
I'm going to put you on the spot here again, final walkthrough here and looking at our punch out list with the little pieces of blue tape. And I'll give you an example of mine. What's the worst piece of advice that someone ever gave you in the construction industry? And, you know, mine, again, I can go back to an athletic background, you know, be tough. And then to go real deeper than that, you know, it was always just from the people in leadership, be tough, you know, get up, keep going, be tough, you know, don't show your emotions. You know, don't show the chinks in your armor. It was not a very transparent society. That may have been the worst piece of advice. Thought at the time it was a great piece of advice, but it kept everything hidden and inside. So that was meant well advice, but not very good advice for the long run. What's anything like that related to your background and industry that you would share?
Yeah, I think very similar stuff. I mean, I tell this story and I kind of joke about this, and it sort of fits throughout my career in that, you know, on that first day in a ditch, I'm digging and there's some other gentlemen around me, and they said, "Hey, slow down. You're going to make us look bad." And, you know, from that day forward, I never did slow down. I just kept going as fast as I could and trying to learn and grow. But what I found throughout my career and I don't know if it was advice or more about the culture and the mindset of the people I was working around in many cases, is there is a crab in a bucket mentality to some degree. You know, if you try to climb out, you try to, you know, get out of your comfort zone and put yourself out there, they will try to drag you back down. I mean, that's just the reality of it in some ways. Unfortunately, that's prevalent in, I'm guessing, probably coaching, but it's definitely prevalent in the construction world, where, you know, not necessarily rewarded on your merits. I've been fortunate throughout my career, you know, I was able to be recognized and move up, but I've also seen people who haven't been able to be, you know, recognized for their effort and their abilities and not necessarily brought along in the same way I was. So I think that advice, I mean, I think, hey, slow down, kid, you're making us look bad, is kind of the stuck in me, in my mind from that day forward. And I never did slow down. So I'm not slowing down yet either. So
good for you. Good for you. That's bad advice. So besides men living, tell us how we can, if we want to get in touch with you, ask a question, something like that, to a listener, tell us a little bit how we can or they can get in touch with you.
Yeah, well, I think it starts for me as this independent consultant. You know, it's metamanagementconsulting.com. I offer support heavily in operations and really big in construction. So I offer, you know, ongoing business analysis or operations support. I do fractional COO work and offer what I call package solutions for, you know, a change order, a management program or an SOP analysis and development for people. So through my consulting, I do that every day. But I also have my newsletter, which goes out every week. It's free. It's the vast majority of the folks that read it are construction in the construction world. And it is about productivity, leadership, best practices. It's about focusing on high value activities is kind of the core of it. And that's called earn versus burn. That was a phrase kind of back coming up, making sure we're earning more hours than we're burning. So spell that out, earnversusburn.com, and you can get access to my free weekly newsletter. And within that, there's an offering, premium offering called what I call Rules and Tools. And that's where some of this leadership stuff is and some other opportunities for people to gain access to other information. I'd throw out earnversusburn.com. And then lastly, again, menliving.org/construction to learn more about what they're doing.
But Tracy, this has been eye-opening for me. I don't think it's discussed enough. I'm talking particularly mental health. If that statistic didn't open up everybody's eyes, it opened up mine when you were talking about OSHA.
Yeah, it's stunning, isn't it? So yeah, the suicide rate for men in construction is 5 times the fatal injury rate for men in construction. Look at the investment, which are great. We support that, obviously, the investment in safety and regulations and rules to help support safety. But that is quite the stat. I mean, I don't think we can pinpoint that kind of money being invested in suicide prevention or mental health support in the construction industry. So that's a big one.
Yes. Well, we'll leave it there, man, because if that doesn't say it that doesn't paint a picture, I don't know what does. So thank you for sharing your wisdom. And we do really appreciate your time here, Tracy. And I think people have learned. I know I have. So
thank you, Rick. I appreciate it. Take care. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening. And don't forget to subscribe for more episodes like this. For more information on Construction Pals podcast and Blue Tape, please visit bluetape.com.